Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta. And we've got three great guests today. We have Sue and Craig Doreen, and they are owners of Franchise Connect Pro, and Sherry Heil. Sherry is with Amplified Concepts. First, I want to turn to the Doreens, the franchise experts, Sue and Craig Doreen with Franchise Connect Pro, but you make sure people get the correct franchise, right? So maybe that was a good slip, right? Tell us about what you do.
Yep. Thanks, John. Thanks to Radio Business X for having us. We're excited to be here. So what we do as franchise consultants is help people uncover the next step in their career through franchise ownership. Many people don't realize folks like us exist, and so folks that are potentially looking to become an entrepreneur, get into business ownership, many times, especially in today's world, are spending a ton of time on the internet and researching, and there's all kinds of information, good and bad, out there. We actually help the folks find the right business model that meets their lifestyle, meets their goals. So we are matchmakers.
And there are literally thousands of franchises out there, correct?
Currently, there's approximately 4,000 franchises. Mm. You don't want to spend all day looking at all 4,000 on Google. That's right. Where we come in.
Right.
We help to narrow that down for you.
Right. So talk a little bit about how you do that, how that works. What's the process?
Certainly. Well, thank you. So what we do once we've talked to someone, it's really all about conversations. It's learning what someone's goals and objectives are, whether that's more on the personal side, they're traveling too much or they don't have time with their family, they're not happy with their current career. We talk about professional goals, certainly, you know, where they want to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. And lastly, it's also very important we understand their financial considerations, not only income goals, but what they have to spend on a franchise. That helps us to matchmake them with the best business model possible.
And I think it's fair to say that some folks go into it thinking they're good for a particular franchise, and then they find out they're really not, right?
Yeah, that's right, John. It's actually an interesting fact, not just in our business, but industry-wide, that 7 out of 10 people that move forward with a franchise move forward with something other than they initially thought. A perfect example is food. Most people think of franchises as the McDonald's, the Chick-fil-A's, the Subways of the world, and food. And so many times people come to us and say, oh, I want to open a restaurant. And the classic is, oh, so you want to work 365 days a year and you want to go in and make sandwiches if the teenager kid doesn't show up for a Saturday afternoon shift. And that's fine, but we help folks better understand what they want. So that's why 7 out of 10 times they move forward with something other than what they want. We, in essence, enlighten them to the different opportunities. And much like Sue mentioned, it's all about the goals, lifestyles. And once we have those conversations, then they figure out what's actually best for them.
So you walk folks through the process, and there's, as you say, I mean, there's part of it is learning about the business itself and really what's going to be involved once you get on the other side of this, because once you sign that FDD, it's a kind of a pretty permanent document, right?
It's a 10-year commitment typically. There's a few that are 5-year commitments. It is a big commitment, and that's why it's a process. It's a process of learning together what they're looking for. It's a process of them learning what they really want. Some people go into entrepreneurship thinking, oh, I've just always wanted to be my own boss, but never really thought about what it means to truly be an entrepreneur and own your own business. That's where we come in. We work on both ends of the spectrum. We guide them through the whole franchise selection, through the due diligence process, what the questions they should be asking, who they should be talking to. And you really learn a lot about yourself as well as what you really want to spend your day doing, and who you want to spend your day doing it with as well is important.
Yep. And by the way, I'm impressed that you knew the term FDD. For those folks, unlike John, that doesn't know what the FDD is, it stands for a franchise disclosure document. The FDD is a federally mandated document several hundred pages that has to go out to all of the candidates, and that typically happens in the early in the process. And much like Sue mentioned, that's also one of the services that we help folks with, is when they get the FDD, they would look at it and go, oh my gosh, how am I going to read this? And
right.
Typically it'll put them to sleep. Well, we help guide them with, okay, here are the sections that are really important. Here
first,
are the ones that...
The first important sections.
The first,
it's all important.
Right. Yeah, right, of course. Yeah,
the first important sections.
Right.
So when it comes to the due diligence and looking at the FDD, we help folks do that as well.
Yeah, and you're the experts, and thank you for calling me out on my lingo. See, I normally try to define things for folks, and here I'm the one giving the lingo. But in a lot of these documents, folks are committed to a 10-year franchise payment regardless of whether they're even operating the business, correct? I mean, in other words, it's really important to make sure you get the right franchise and it's successful, and that's where you come in.
Absolutely. It is important that you understand what you're signing and what you're committing to. It is typically a 10-year period. However, during that time, it doesn't mean that you couldn't sell your franchise. You need to do that in conjunction with working with the franchisor. But there are opportunities to exit. We like to say that that doesn't happen. People are a good fit, and franchises are awarded. So it is a relationship that works both ways. It's important that not only the franchisee is happy with the franchisor, but they need to be very happy with their potential franchisees as well. It is a team, and it is a two-way relationship very much.
Sure. Now, I know you work with, or I assume you work, maybe that's the way I ought to say it, but with folks that are coming out of corporate that may be looking for an encore career or something like that. Maybe they've been downsized or just decided they've had enough corporate and they want to be their own boss. What advice do you give to folks about even engaging with a franchise itself versus starting their own business?
Yeah, well, I'll address the what we term corporate refugee, and I'm the perfect example. And a corporate refugee could be somebody that was, as you mentioned, downsized, could be somebody that has been in corporate for X amount of years and they're just tired of traveling, they're tired of the corporate politics. And they want to work for themselves. So that is something that we I'll say excel at, because that's what I am, as a corporate refugee. So we talked a lot to those folks.
Yeah, we also talked to a lot of people who either I've always wanted to own their own business, maybe grew up in a family business. We talked to people returning to the workforce, perhaps at home, stay-at-home moms or dads who are returning into the workforce looking for something different as well, serial entrepreneurs as well. And it is very much a matchmaking, as we mentioned. Franchises are more than food, I will mention. There's something for everyone out there, and no matter what your career has been, you've obtained a lot of transferable skills to the franchise world.
And it's important to understand that as we're talking about the corporate refugees, and especially in the environment that we're in a low unemployment environment, that people shouldn't be looking to buy themselves a job. Again, as Sue mentioned early on, when it comes to entrepreneurship, just because you open up a business, whether it's on your own or through a franchise, you still have to work. Now, there are some semi-absentee and fully absentee businesses, but even at that, you need to work on the business and you need to manage your business. It's an investment. So it's important for us to understand what is the goal of somebody looking to be an entrepreneur.
The success rate of franchising in general is significantly higher than starting a business on your own. Statistics are roughly over 90% of all franchises are still very successful and in business in 5 years, where it's the complete opposite if you've started a business on your own.
Well, that's a pretty compelling stat right there. From Sue and Craig Doreen, and they are owners of Franchise Connect Pro. Now, you mentioned that there are more franchises than just food. That's, of course, the first thing a lot of folks think about, though, are fast food places and businesses. But talk about the industries specifically that you represent, maybe the ones that you like better than others that you think people maybe need to pay attention to that they're not currently paying attention to.
Thank you. There are home-based businesses a lot of people aren't aware of. There are obviously brick-and-mortar type businesses. But When you think about industries, there's roughly 72 industry segments represented in the franchise world. So food is certainly one of them, but there is automotive, there's business services of all type, consulting type opportunities, all types of children's, tutoring, enrichment programs, art, music, et cetera, pet services. Senior care is probably the most booming marketplace right now, as we all like to consider the fact we're going to all live longer and want to live longer in our homes before we need to move to somewhere else. It's a booming business. So senior care is certainly another one. All types of home service. Retail, I would say, is a little bit less than it used to be. And in today's economy, where people are a little uncertain about what might be coming down the pike with recession, I always like to remind people, we will always spend money on children, pets, and our parents. So those are three wonderful industries as well.
I like that. That's that holds for a lot of different aspects of business, not just buying a franchise. I like that. Very nice. So give folks an idea of what makes them a good candidate to own a franchise.
Sure. Well, the first thing is work ethic. Like as I previously mentioned, you open up a franchise, whether it's, you know, on your own or joining an established business model, you have to have a work ethic and follow a process. The reason you want to get into a franchise is it's a proven business model. And so as long as you follow the process, of course, there's no guarantees in life, but depending on the particular franchise, each franchise has its own process of a proven success. So that might be networking in the community. It might be advertising. It might be, whatever else has proven successful. That's what's really important as a franchise owner. And frankly, there are some people that that just can't follow the process. Right? They may have the entrepreneurial spirit, but they think they could do things much better on their own. Good for them. Nothing wrong with that. But they're probably not a great candidate for a franchise.
So, yeah, and I think there are folks that come out of corporate that maybe are used to a support system that does not exist when you have your own business, right? So that's another little issue that you kind of have to walk people through what the reality of that is, right?
Absolutely. There's a wonderful support system with the best franchises out there. You do have your own business. You're building equity in your own business. However, you have a team. You have a team of not only the corporate support that the franchisor offers, but also all the fellow franchisees. You're really working together to build the brand, continue to build the brand. And you have someone to always bounce off, you know, you've had a tough problem or best practices and so forth. So the support structure and the ongoing training, mentorship with new franchisees, all of that is part of the franchise. And it's part of what we discuss as we evaluate their best businesses.
And let me give you one example, John, that we like to use. Residential cleaning, for example. I would say for the most part, nobody grows up thinking, hey, when I get older, I want to own a residential cleaning business. However, it's actually a great business model. And as long as you get over the ego thing about, oh, I own a cleaning business, there's generally never an emergency for residential cleaning. It's repeat business. You're managing a business. You're working on the business. So residential cleaning, a lot of people don't think of as a viable franchise, but it's extremely profitable. And corporate executives that come out of corporate, they know how to run a business. That's actually a great business model for them.
Gotcha. So you've got the different industries that you represent, the different franchise organizations within those industries that you think better of generally in terms of the way that maybe they run their business, what have you. So, you've gone through the process with me, identified me as a good franchise owner. What's it going to cost me?
Well, it really depends. It depends a lot on what you're able to invest. Investment parameters are really important. We talk about what you have in cash available. There's a lot of different ways to finance a business. A lot of people aren't aware they can actually use funds from 401ks or from their retirement without early withdrawal penalties. So we discuss that as well. There are opportunities out there for as little as, you know, realistically, $30,000. There are a few that say they're less, upwards to millions. The majority of franchises out there cost between $100,000 and $150,000.
And is that the franchise fee only, or the working capital that you recommend someone have in support of that business?
It's both. Okay. It's the franchise fee. It's some working capital, typically some initial advertising costs as well.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, cool. So day in the life. What's a day in the life of a franchise owner look like?
Well, let's use us as an example. Franchise Connect Pro. We practice what we preach. We are part of a larger organization called FranServe. And much like any other franchisor, they provide us lots of benefits. We bought into our parent company. They vet most of the franchisees, so they have to be quote unquote worthy to get into the model. And so we're a franchise. Franchise Connect Pro is part of FranServe. Day in the life of what I do for our business. I'm typically out networking 3 mornings a week, meeting people in the community. Frankly, that's how I met John and got on Business Radio X.
Right.
It's beneficial. I spend a lot of time on social media. So a day in the life of my part of the business, and Sue will talk about hers, is getting us known in the community. And that's just not locally. That's also nationally. It is staying in touch with people. It's advertising. I'm the CFO, CIO, CTO of our business. And when it comes to the actual matchmaking part, I will let Sue talk about her role.
Well, Sue, I've got to ask, what's it like to supervise Craig? What does that look like?
It's very difficult. The good news is we've been married for 34 years, so I've been figuring it out for a long time.
Thank you for having a sense of humor about that question. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. So the other part of what we do in the day in the life is I'm the one who works predominantly with they're called candidates in franchise speak, clients, okay, if you will. Working with them to talk with them, guiding them through the process. I spend a lot of time talking with franchisors, what's new in their world as well. It helps me to understand each of the business models better. So customer service, I think that's important no matter what the business is. I think every business owner needs to make sure they're providing the best customer service with whatever their service or product that they're offering is. And that's really where I like to spend the majority of my time.
Sure. Now, one thing I want to do is put you on the spot here, if I can. Because I was joking earlier, but seriously, husbands and wives come, you know, they want to go into business together. What advice would you give husband and wife team that want to go into business together?
Because
you're living it, right?
I will take this
okay,
one first
sure.
before Craig.
Okay.
I started the business. Craig joined me when he left corporate.
Uh-huh.
When he first came home and said, you know, I'm really tired of corporate and I think I'm going to join your business. My initial reaction was, oh, yikes, what am I going to do now?
Uh-oh.
It's worked out great. And I would say that from an advice standpoint, if I could offer that, would be you have to be friends first. You have to remember when to separate your day from your work day to your private day. We try to do that most days. And it's really about dividing and conquering. We have different skill sets, and it's important to identify what those are and let each of us work on that part of the business to the best of our abilities.
So the classic saying of two heads are better than one, that's one thing that frankly, it took us a little bit of time to figure out. We both have strengths and weaknesses, and so we play to those strengths and weaknesses. And I appreciate your levity as far as managing me, and I will say one thing that Sue may kick me under the table, but several years ago, our daughter came to me right before Mother's Day and said, Dad, would you mind if I get Mom a plaque for her desk that says, I'm CEO? And I said, no, I think that's great. So frequently I will barge into Sue's office
yes.
while she's in the middle of something, and all she does is point to that sign. So a shout out to our daughter, Amy. Your sign is well used on a daily basis. But she is the boss, no question about it.
I love it. Well, it's good to have a sense of humor about it. But as you say, it's important to understand how you work together, right, as
Absolutely.
A team. So that's great. But so for those that would like more information, would like to be in touch and learn how they can how you can be helpful to them in the process, tell them how to do that.
Certainly. Well, we would like phone calls, emails, go to our website. So my phone number is 404-372-9293. I can be reached at sue@franchiseconnectpro.com, which is also our website. Craig's email is clearly craig@franchiseconnectpro.com. BusinessOwnership.com. We look forward to speaking with all of you and finding out if business ownership is the right pathway for you.
And additionally, as far as connecting with us, LinkedIn is a great platform. Sue Doreen, Craig Doreen, we are active on LinkedIn. We have frequent posts, and so you can certainly follow us both personally, and we have a LinkedIn business page, Franchise Connect Pro.
Cool. So Sue and Craig Doreen, they are the owners of Franchise Connect Pro. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
John.
Thanks for having us, John.
Absolutely. Folks, today you're now connected more than ever, and whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renasant understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. Renasant also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why Renasant has more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renasantbank.com, Renasant Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. Now we turn to Sherry Heil, and Sherry is the founder of Amplified Concepts. Sherry.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and Amplified Concepts.
Well, I started freelancing and marketing in 2005. Spent a number of years freelancing, ended up acquiring a small agency, did some great work with the agency, led a wonderful team, but really missed a lot of the aspects of freelancing. And it dawned on me that there was something missing. There was a third option, which is bringing the agency model to freelancers so they could scale their business and better serve their clients. So that's what Amplified Concepts is. It's actually an agency on demand for the freelancer. As far as I know, I'm the only company out there serving the freelancer who then serves their clients.
So unpack that for me if I'm a client. What does that mean? If I'm the end client, what does that mean to me? And what's the benefit to me of that model?
So most likely if you're hiring a freelancer, you're a small business client.
Right.
It's usually small businesses. They think they can't afford an agency. So they're like, I need a website. They do their due diligence of looking for referrals, however it is that they find their web designer, meet their web designer, love their web designer. Get a fantastic website from this guy. And then they say, hey, let's say his name's Joe. Hey, Joe, can you also help me rank on Google? Can you do my SEO for me? Hey, Joe, I have a presentation coming up. Can you do my PowerPoint for me? Hey, Joe, I was told I need to be on social media. Can you do my social media for me? Joe is a web developer.
Right.
As it stands right now, Joe could do one of three things during this circumstance. He could say no, leaving the small business owner with nobody to turn to. He could say yes and be a jack of all trades, doing none of them well and getting burned out in the process. Or he could say, call my five friends, leaving you, the business owner, with five people to manage, to pay, and also to hopefully work out.
Sure.
You know, and if they don't work out, then Joe's there apologizing that one of them didn't work out. So with my model, if you say, Joe, can you do all these things for me? He says, yes, I can. He comes to me at Amplified Concepts. I build the team behind him. We have over 100 freelancers now. So if one of them doesn't work out, we replace them quickly. Joe is the only contact for that client. That client doesn't have all those people to manage. Joe is the client owner. Joe gets commission for the bigger scope of work. I handle all the billing. I make sure everybody gets paid, and I have the business insurance to make sure that, you know, we're managing the risk.
Wow, that's pretty cool for Joe. So, and I guess the other thing too, if I'm Joe, the web developer, then I'm also getting referrals from your network, correct?
Exactly.
You forgot to mention that, Sherry.
Well,
but that's a good one right there, right?
Well, you kind of saw the connection,
yeah,
right?
So yeah, even the light came on for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So every freelancer out there is networking. They're trying to build their business. And so what I do is help them also scale by building the team behind them, but they also scale by being on other people's teams.
Makes all the sense in the world. Now talk a little bit about the different, you mentioned web development, you mentioned SEO. Talk a little bit about the different aspects of work that you do for clients, for end clients.
Sure. I'll approach that starting with what I do, because okay. I'm not just the owner. I'm a member.
Cool.
Only people of a certain age know where I get that from.
Well, I'd have to be of that age, but vintage. But anyway, go ahead.
So I am a marketing consultant. Unfortunately, a lot of small business owners think that Joe's a marketing person. Joe's a web developer. And I'll often come in and they're like, yeah, Joe's my marketing guy. What Joe does is tactics. So I'm a marketing consultant. I'll come in and I'll help a client with strategy. I'm not the only strategist on the team, and I'm not always the best strategist for the client. So if you're looking for strategy, the big umbrella strategy, I could help you. And I have some great people from big brands, small brands, all types of industries that can help you build that strategy out. Then after the strategy is built, then we support the strategy with the tactics. So we have everybody from digital, traditional, presentation skills, voiceover, filming in our team, so that we could really build out the or support the strategy with the tactics and do so at a cost price point that's affordable for people.
If you don't mind, I want to dig into the strategy versus tactics issue, since you're the expert on strategy, because I see a lot of folks running around talking about tactics, and they try to push them as strategy. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit about a little more on that, unpack that, and talk about the danger of that for the client.
Well, I'll start with the danger. The danger is you're going to waste a lot of money and get very little results if you're not focusing top down as opposed to bottom up. You're going to hear a lot of people from your peers to your friends, your family. Hey, you need to be on video. Hey, you need to be on social media. And those are all the tactics. Well, the first thing is, if you don't have the right message that's going to resonate with your audience, doesn't matter where you're at, you're not going to get the clients. You're not going to get the right turn on investment. So a message that's about your clients, not about you, but about your clients that they could recognize. Second, you have to understand the customer journey. Once your client or a prospect actually knows they have a problem and they need to solve it, what do they do to solve it? So a workshop I do, I call the rat in the kitchen. You wake up in the morning, you go into the kitchen and you see a rat. You know four things. While you're screaming, you know all four things. You know you have a problem. You know you have urgency around that problem. You know you have values about that problem. Am I going to kill it? Am I going to trap it humanely? And so forth. And you know you have, wow, I forgot the fourth thing.
I don't know. Those first three were pretty good.
It is on my website. Yeah. But after you're screaming, then you're going to do something about it. The one thing you're not going to do is post on Facebook, hey, I found a rat in my kitchen.
Right.
So when you think of it that way, you know, where are you going to go? You're probably going to do Google. So for an exterminator, their priority of their marketing mix should be in search engine optimization. Their priority of their message should be speaking to the urgency and speaking to the values. Oh, the fourth one was emotions, and speaking to the emotions of that problem. So if you're speaking to their emotions and their values, they know, oh, you're the right exterminator for me. But if you're speaking to how you make the sausage, basically, you know, this is who I am. This is why I do what I do. This is, you know, why I'm so great. You're not speaking to the emotions and values of your client. So strategy really starts with understanding your client and being able to connect with them. Then the marketing mix is where to connect with them based on their life cycle journey.
So, Sherry, one of the things that seems like to me you do is help folks filter through freelancers, right? Lots of freelancers out there. Some are good, some are bad, but nobody knows how to, like, the typical business person doesn't know how to judge, right?
That's correct.
So you help folks with that.
I definitely can. So, my journey here started out with me starting as an IT recruiter. So I learned how to interview people and place people, and I've managed people along the way. So yes, we'll sit down, we'll talk about exactly, you know, what type of person you need, what your strategy needs to be, what kind of timeline, what kind of budget, things of that nature, and make sure we're matching the right team together.
Now, let's talk about it from the freelancer's point of view, because you led with that, and which I thought was great, is that we make life easier for freelancers. How does it work? If I'm a Joe the web designer and I don't know Sherry, but this sounds pretty good, how does it work? I get in touch with you, and what's the process for being part of a member of Amplified Concepts?
So it's free to join, and people ask me about vetting people to join. I don't vet them when they join, because joining gets you basically into the peer-to-peer learning network that we have. So we're educating people, mentoring people, ideally making everybody better. Vetting comes from when we put people on projects and on jobs. So if you're Joe, the web designer, and you're like, Sherry, I have a project I need help with, one, I'm going to make sure it's a good client for us to work with, because I'm now taking the risk on. Two, I'm going to make sure we're scoping out the project properly, both on what is expected from everybody as well as making sure we could pay everybody appropriately. After we do that, then we'll send out the job request to the people who have that skill set. They respond to the questions we have. We sit down, we vet everybody, decide what team we want. Everybody gets contracts. They get by. They follow the bylaws that we have set, and then they go do their work. We have a person that's a dedicated project manager on each team. Sometimes that's the client owner. Sometimes it's not. And then I make sure everybody gets paid.
That last part's pretty important.
Indeed.
Yeah. They really like that part of it, for sure. Now, I know it's the elephant in the heads of some folks listening out there, so I might as well just bring it up. You know, why shouldn't I just get on Fiverr.com and figure out my web designer or my logo maker or whatever? Why shouldn't I do that instead of going through Amplified Concepts?
You absolutely can. The difference between Amplified Concepts and Fiverr.com or Freelancer.com is I do have this large network, and we are accountable to making sure the work gets done. So I'll use a story. I have a client I've been working with for a couple of years now. We have a writer on the project. Last year, the writer started missing deadlines and not returning my calls. I finally get a hold of her, found out she had a death in the family. I said, you need to take a break. We put another writer on the project for a couple months till she got her affairs together. Then we put her back on the project. The client never knew the difference. The client didn't know what was going on. So when you're working with us, you have one point of contact, but you have over 100 people in our collaborative that we're going to pull together as needed to make sure the work gets done.
Wow, that's a compelling story. And this just in, I don't think Fiverr.com calls you back. Do they call you back? I don't think they do. But
I've
anyway.
I've never used them.
Yeah, I think we know the answer to that. That's a great story. Now, talk about freelancing generally as we wrap it up here. Talk about freelancing generally. What for folks that are interested in becoming freelancers or widening out their business?
So freelancing is growing rapidly. The latest report said 35% of the workforce now is freelancing. 28% is doing it as a career choice. So 7% may be doing it as a side gig or in between jobs, but more than one in four people have said, I'm done. I'm going to go work for myself. What a lot of people don't realize when they say, I'm done, I'm going to go work for myself, is congratulations, you've just become a salesperson and a manager and a business operations owner.
Right.
You know, that web developer who was a great web developer in the company or in the agency, well, now you've got to figure out your taxes and your invoicing and your billing and your conflict management and so on and so forth. So that's one of the things that really inspired me to start this as well, is I call myself an accidental coach. After I started freelancing, I did have a lot of the sales background and management background. So I was able to jump in pretty smoothly. So I had a lot of people saying, Sherry, can I buy you lunch? Can I buy you coffee? And I always said yes. And it always ended up, you need more than coffee. Let me help you out with this. And so I call myself an accidental business coach, and just seeing so many of the struggles that freelancers were going through because they didn't have that more holistic business experience made me realize this is a support group that's needed.
I love it. Sherry Heil, she is founder and member and accidental coach at Amplified Concepts. Sherry, this has been great. For those that would like more information, would like to be in touch with you, whether they're a potential client, need marketing services or a freelancer that provides those services, tell them how to be in touch with you.
Sure. So if you're looking to hire just me, my personal website is sherryheil.com. That's SHERRYHEYL.com. And if you want more information about Amplified Concepts, that's AMPLIFIEDCONCEPTS.com. And both of them have a contact form where you could reach out to me. And when you fill out those contact forms, they go straight to me.
Sherry Heil with Amplified Concepts. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Folks, if you've got some hassles that involve bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, maybe a workshop that needs to be prepared and planned, well, go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And just a reminder, folks, that you can listen to this show every Tuesday morning live at 11:30, and we sometimes have special shows during the week. But if you miss any of our shows, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Overcast, just about every podcast app out there. We're actually even on YouTube. Or you can go online to NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com, search our archive there, find other great business leaders like Sue, Craig, and Sherry, and check us out there. We're also on social media, so go find us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, on all three platforms there. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for our guest, Sue and Craig Doreen and Sherry Heil, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.